Welcome to my presentation. Some of you might know me from last year's presentation at the OpenSUSE conference. And for those who don't know me, my name is Tobias Görgens. I study at the Hasso-Plattner Institute in Potsdam, now in my master's program. And I have way too much spare time, so I built a Linux distribution. And I want to start the presentation with a question for all of you. Please raise your hand if you agree. So who of you likes to play games in your free time or used to do that? Okay, quite a few, very nice. And who of you plays games on Linux? Also quite a few. So what I'm building might be very interesting for you. And one last question. Who of you owns a Steam Deck? I hope everyone knows what a Steam Deck is. Okay, nice. Does anyone here not know what a Steam Deck is? Okay, so I've prepared a slide for you. This is a Steam Deck. It's like a Nintendo Switch, just cooler and running Linux. So like a small PC with gamepads glued to it, a really great device. So I also own a Steam Deck, and for every Steam Deck user here, what I'm building is especially great for you. And what am I building? Everyone who has seen the description of the talk or listened to me until here already knows. Yuga Linux, a Linux distribution. And by default, Yuga Linux boots into the SteamOS game mode on startup, which looks like this. So you can easily access all of your games. But of course, it also offers a desktop mode with either KDE Plasma 6 or GNOME. So just like SteamOS, you can still use your device like a regular PC. You can even switch the system to directly boot into the desktop mode or a login screen on startup if you want to. I've done that personally on my notebook, which of course also runs Yuga Linux. And Yuga Linux comes with its own kernel, including patches for various handheld devices and performance improvement tweaks. And since about half a year now, Yuga Linux runs with full disk encryption. But I will get to that later again. Everyone who hasn't seen last year's presentation is probably asking a very important question at this point. But why? Why do I spend my time building a Linux distribution for handheld devices like the Steam Deck when there are already multiple great options out there, including the pre-installed SteamOS? Well, for example, SteamOS is image-based. This means that when you customize the system, for example, by installing a package, it will be gone after an update. And this probably isn't a huge deal for a lot of users, but for me it becomes very finicky. Since I connect my Steam Deck to my TV to play games from time to time, I also have a wireless gamepad. To be precise, the official Xbox controller with official dongle. The dongle, however, needs proprietary drivers installed. It is available in the official SteamOS repositories, but isn't pre-installed, so I have to install it every time I want to use the dongle after an update. And yes, I know Bluetooth works, but it has a higher latency, and I paid for that dongle, so I'm gonna use that dongle. On my main PC, the issue is even worse with SteamOS. I bought a very niche controller that is okay from the functionality, but Linux didn't support it for a long time. I had to patch the XPad driver myself in the first time to support it. And while that wasn't hard, it meant that I needed a modified kernel module, and compiling that after every update manually was an even bigger pain because Bluetooth isn't an option with it, so I literally couldn't play games after an update until I recompiled the module. So, what would I wish my gaming distribution to offer? First of all, it should be immutable and atomic in its core. I don't want partially installed packages or updates, so I have to worry about anything like that. And then, obviously, I would also like to be able to install kernel modules, and the modification I make should be kept even after an update. So, for example, the kernel module should stay installed. And the system should be able to store sensitive data. For example, I would very much not like a thief who steals my notebook or my Steam Deck, for example, to get credentials or personal documents, so encryption needs to be at least an option on some systems. And users in my Yuga Telegram group requested encryption as well. I mean, it makes sense. Some users hook up their Steam Deck to a display and keyboard and use it like a regular PC, because you can do that. So there may be personal information on there you don't want everyone with a screwdriver to see. And when you have a PC hooked up to a TV in the living room, you might also have a look at family pictures you maybe don't want everyone to see. And last but not least, I also don't want to worry about updates in any way. They shouldn't break my system. I shouldn't need to read blog posts for special instructions because my system otherwise just shoots itself in the head for no reason. And in the best case, the system should just update itself and I don't have to do anything. I guess it shouldn't break in general. That would be good. And who here agrees that these are some reasonable wishes? Please raise your hand. Okay, a lot agree. Thank you very much. And the question, of course, is there anything you would like to add personally? If yes, please remember them for later. So, as a baseline, let's see how many wishes DemoS fulfills. 3 out of 5. Not bad, but also not great. And yes, I know SteamOS can have an encrypted home partition, but that feels more like a hack, and as far as I know, it's not really officially supported. So SteamOS isn't an optimal choice. What about the other options I mentioned? There is, for example, BazatOS, based on Fedora Atomic. There's Nobara Linux, Steam Deck Edition, also based on Fedora. We have ChimeraOS, based on Arch Linux, sorry, pronunciation is hard. And we have the Manjaro Gaming Edition, which will be released soon, also based on Arch. Wait a second, that's also what I said last year about the Manjaro Gaming Edition. Does anyone know here what happened to it? It's not even listed on their official download page, and I haven't heard of it in ages. Anyway, let's see where Manjaro stands on my wish list. Not existing doesn't seem to be the way. So the Manjaro Gaming Edition is out. So there are 3 options left. How about ChimeraOS? Well, ChimeraOS is also image-based and doesn't support installing packages at all and doesn't offer encryption. So let's see the wish list. Yeah, ChimeraOS is also out. This leaves us with the Fedora-based options. Let's start with Nobara. Nobara does support installing custom packages that are kept after updates, but that's just because Nobara isn't immutable and therefore not transactional or atomic in any way. And upgrading Nobara, for example, from 40 to 41 is a hassle. I've looked at the official instructions, and I don't want to do that. So let's check the wish list again. So better not Nobara. OK, Bazite, how about you? Bazite is based on Fedora Atomic, and therefore also image-based. But Bazite supports RPMOS tree to layer packages on top of the base system image. However, RPMOS tree doesn't support DKMS to build custom kernel modules, but only AK mods-based RPM packages. So I would need to learn how these work if I wanted to use Bazite. And let's say what they say themselves about RPMOS tree. Major caveats using RPMOS tree. Layering packages can cause severe consequences, including pause system updates until packages are uninstalled. Not nice. Prevent rebasing to different images until packages are uninstalled. Also not nice. Conflict with existing packages as part of the image leading to dependency issues. That's ouch. And updates may take longer to download as you layer more and more packages to your system. That doesn't sound too promising, does it? I don't want to risk stopping system updates for having dependency issues on my distro. So Bazite also doesn't offer encryption. And as you can see, Bazite is close, but not quite what I need. This means I'm left with exactly 0 options fulfilling all of my wishes. And this leads to my initial question. Why do I build my own distribution? Because simply there currently is no distribution fitting what I'm looking for. And maybe you also agreed that the wishes are plausible and that it would be nice if there was something that offered what I'm looking for. So let's make a time travel back to the summer 2023. What happened 2023? It's the official end of the corona pandemic. Great! And I also just had a look at the different alternatives I presented. Manjaro Gaming Edition wasn't a thing back then. And I noticed that none of the options offered what I'm looking for, and I decided that I wanted to solve the issue myself by creating my own Linux distribution. I already had some experience in packaging software for OpenSUSE, but I never created a complete distro before. And I'm curious, who of you would know where to start or what to do if you wanted to create your own Linux distribution? Please raise your hand. Okay, a few, but not too many. Well, I didn't really know where to start. I just knew that it was unrealistic to build a complete distro from scratch, so I needed some project and tooling as a base. And just a few months earlier, I heard about a more or less new OpenSUSE project called Eon Desktop, former macOS Desktop. And I heard that Eon would fix a lot of the issues other mutable distros have, but I never took a detailed look at it before. So I downloaded Eon, installed it in a VM, and that worked. So I read a bit more about it and how I could alter it to be running on my Steam Deck. And yeah, as you've heard from Richard a few minutes ago, altering the system in any way was and is not wanted, except in very rare occasions. So just using our Eon and installing the packages I need for the game mode is not useful, because that's absolutely unsupported and untested. But I was able to install the kernel module I need for my controller testwise on Eon through transactional update without the caveats other distros have, since transactional update still uses zipper under the hood and regular package resolution, just on system snapshots that are made read-only after changing them. So let's take a look at what I actually did to start with building my Linux distribution. Let me pull this window over here. Perfect. So here we have the open build system where the packages for OpenSUSE are built. And the first thing I did was to look for Eon in here. And as we can see, we find Eon in here. And in here, we also have the macOS Devil project. And when we look in here, we have the packages that are specific to Eon. And the package that is particularly interesting for us is the patterns package, because this package contains the definitions in the spec file for which packages should be installed on your Eon system after you've installed it. So what did I do? I branched the package, and you can as well very easily do that. You branch it, and yeah, how should we call it? I think nice project. It's a great title. And I branch it. So now I have my own Eon patterns package where I could now, in theory, add packages. But of course, I still need the extra packages for the Steam Deck. So for example, I need the GameScope session package that is provided by ChimeraOS that they built for the game mode. So let's see if there is any project that already offers GameScope session. And what do we find? Oh, yeah, here's Yuga, and it already offers GameScope session. So let's imagine it was a project you didn't know, so you would also branch that into your project. We called it Nice Project, right? So we use Nice Project without a typo. That would be helpful. And when we branch it, we now also have that in our Nice Project. And in here, we now have the patterns package and the GameScope session package. And both will be built and published in its own repository. So when we go into the patterns Eon spec, we can now scroll down and just add a require here for GameScope session. I think it's called GameScope session plus the actual package. And we save. And afterwards, when we install this pattern now on a system, GameScope session will be pulled in as well. So that's great. Of course, you should rename the patterns package and the spec files in there, because else whoever created this patterns package will probably hate you, because you're now using their name, even though it's not really their distribution. So we can obit that. And that's great. So let's refresh here. OK, it failed. That's not very nice. I probably had a typo. Or why is it failing? No. Missing the S. Ah, yeah, thanks. OK, so if you do a typo, if something fails, you can go in there to see why it fails. And it tells me it doesn't know require. That was, of course, planned. So we add a S here, save. And now it should work. Please save. Save. Thank you. So now that we have the patterns, the package is OK. How do we get a system to test it with? So we need our own image. And how would we do that? Again, we would search for Eon. I already opened something here. There is the Devil macOS Eon Images sub-project that you would find through the Eon project. And in here are the images that are used to build Eon. So what we could do is we could also fork the TQS image package, and if we renamed the patterns package, change that in here. So here is patterns.yonbase. We would then rename it to whatever we called our pattern, and the image would get built. The only thing you will have to look out for is that OBS is magical in its own ways, and you need a project config to build images. But that's already it. So building the images isn't very hard. It's not particularly easy because you know you're now interacting with Kiwi, and Kiwi sometimes isn't too nice to handle, but in general it works. It takes some time to build the images. And with that, I was now able to build my own image, and I just plugged a USB stick in, wrote the image to a USB stick, and I booted from that USB stick. And that's how I quickly could check the install image and the patterns that were installed. So no installation at all necessary. Unfortunately, that approach doesn't work anymore because the TQS image Aeon that we here have, which then leads to the actually installed Aeon, doesn't have an ESP partition anymore. Instead, the OpenSUSE Aeon package we see up here actually contains the installer tick, and that will create the ESP partition afterwards, so we will also have to branch that, but that also shouldn't be too hard. And then I started porting more and more components I found out are important or that I wanted to have. And there are quite a few that I wanted to have or are important, so let me show you. So this is my unstable branch where I do my testing, and we have 50 packages in here. But not every single package here is actually maintained by me. I have some links here that, for example, kernel modules for my own kernel need to be built for my kernel specifically, so I just branch them. I don't have to maintain them. I actually only need to maintain about 40 packages. And as already said, I have the unstable branch here, and we also have a stable and testing branch because I don't want to test something and break the installation for multiple users. So we have this structure here. And inside Yuga, you can then switch the branches to, for example, go from the stable repository to the testing repository or the other way around. And that way, you can also easily test the packages I have. But of course, we don't just only need packages for SteamOS or for the SteamOS functionality. We also need scripts, for example, for the inbuilt updater button or for the factory reset functionality or for the desktop mode. And for that, I oriented on the work that ChimeroS did and came up with my own scripts that I put in a package called Deckifier that I have here. And in here, we have some subfolders and in Deckifier, for example, under user bin, we have TRUP, which just is the abbreviation for transactional update because it's the updater. So internally, it just calls transactional update, checks, for example, if updates are available, and then returns the return code that Steam expects. For the desktop mode, I more or less just edit a config file of LightDM and then restart LightDM so it then starts into the other session. I also tried using GDM and SDDM instead of LightDM, but they didn't work. I had black screen, so the login screen was shown. LightDM worked, and it works great. And for the factory reset, that's actually a bit complicated. How I solved it is in the installer tick, so the installer Richard just presented for Aeon, there's the tick module that before we first boot the system but after installation creates two snapshots of the installed system in a hidden location, and I can actually show you that. So let me move that window over here. One second, please. Yes. So when we have a look at our .snapshots folder with LSLA, which will show all the snapshots we have, also hidden ones, we have a .fr and .ori folder. And no, .fr doesn't stand for .french. That's not the French language pack. It stands for factory reset, because that will then be the snapshot you boot in which a special systemd service will be started that will then restore the snapshot from the .ori sub volume to then actually factory reset your complete system. That, of course, means that when your system, for example, is already 1 year old and you do a factory reset, you will have a 1 year old image then installed after the factory reset. And that's not optimal. In the best case, it should be the current image freshly installed. So another solution would be optimal here. What Richard presented with the OCI image sounds very promising, but it's not here yet. So this is what we have to live with. The biggest problem, however, was getting the Steam UI to actually show up. And that's a problem because Steam needs proprietary files to start up at the first boot, and I can't distribute them because they are not licensed in that way. So what I do is I wrote a tick module that downloads these proprietary files and afterwards places them in the installed system. This also means that my installer needs a one-time internet connection to download these files, but once these files have been downloaded, it won't be required anymore. So you can then install or use the same USB stick to install it on multiple systems, and you will only need to download it once. As for the hardware support, there are different packages interesting for the Steam Deck. So, for example, we have here in the overview, for example, the Jupyter Fan Control, which, as the name suggests, does the fan control of the Steam Deck. Which I didn't know for a long time was that it needs kernel patches to properly work. And I tried at least 1 to 2 weeks to try to solve it working. I wondered, why doesn't it work? What dependency is missing? It was the kernel patches. So let's actually talk about the kernel. First, I used the default kernel from OpenSUSE. So because why shouldn't I? Just use the defaults that are already provided. And it booted on the Steam Deck and other systems, but it had some issues, like the not working fan controller. This now meant that I knew that I need kernel patches. And what I tried, or what I did, is I added the patches for the Steam Deck. So if we go to the kernel package in here, it's called kernel Yuga. There's a patches, or there are patches tars in here, and we can place patches in there, then also add them to the series.conf, and the kernel will be patched. So that's nice. However, there are more and more gaming handheld devices out there, and to support Linux, a lot of them also need patches. So I came up with more and more patches I added to the kernel, which became very hard to then update after the kernel was updated. So I use now the kernel that is based on the kernel Bezite uses, so Bezite.os. They already provide all the patches, have that all nice and working. So thank you, Bezite team, for your work. And how do we build it in OBS? So what I first did, of course, I branched the default kernel, and I manually edited the spec files that are in here, but there are quite a few. If you, for example, just search for spec in here, that's quite a lot of files that I have to manually touch. And those who maintain the kernel probably are not very happy and feel physical pain when I tell them that I did that manually, because OpenSUSE actually has another way to do that. And that is using the kernel source scripts that OpenSUSE uses. No, that is the wrong one. Here we go. And the kernel sources repository contains scripts to build the OBS project we just saw, for example. And how it works is actually very interesting. They download, for example, the official kernel 6.14, and then apply a lot of patches that we can see here in patches.kernel.org to update the kernel to newer versions, so to 6.15.1 and so on. However, that is quite hard for me, because Bezite provides a pre-patched tar of their kernel, and it's actually quite interesting. The kernel source scripts looks at the patches and finds out which patch manipulates the kernel version of the kernel tar and sets that as the kernel version of the final kernel. So I needed to add a dummy patch that just acts as if it would set the kernel version for the kernel source scripts to detect the correct kernel version when the files are built. And that's not the only thing I need to do. I also have to sign the tar myself, because Bezite doesn't do it. I then built the OBS files for the project, and I need to edit them manually afterwards as well, for example, to remove the dummy patch again. And I have a wiki at home for myself on how I do that, but it's also not very easy, and it's time-consuming. So if there is an easier way to do that, help is, of course, welcome in that area. But we now have a working system. We have a kernel, we have the packages for the Steam Deck, we have an installer. Now only one item is missing from my wishlist, and that is securely storing data. And as you might have seen, no distro really supports encryption. And that makes sense. I mean, how would you, for example, on the Steam Deck enter a password when all you have is a gamepad? I guess most of you don't, when they go out, have a keyboard just stored in their backpack that they can always pull out. But I knew there's another tool I work on, and that is SDBootUtil. And SDBootUtil is there to support systemdboot on OpenSUSE with the butterfs snapshot layout. And they also have support for the TPM. And the TPM can store a passphrase and provides that for the system if the boot is in the expected state. And the question here, of course, is what is if the system is not in the expected state? Well, then the TPM doesn't provide the password to unlock the disk. And again, a password request is shown. So that's where I first stopped. The first Yuga iterations that I also showed last year were unencrypted because I didn't know how to do that. But almost a year ago now, a user in my Yuga Telegram group called Egumingus, thank you, shared a link to a C tool called Decrypt to translate gamepad inputs into keyboard inputs. But it crashed a lot. It was really unstable. It only supported one gamepad layout, so you could really only use it on one device. It couldn't support multiple devices. And the worst issue is that it registered letters depending on your keyboard layout. So it wasn't deterministic. If you entered, if you used the gamepad with one gamepad layout, it produced different symbols than when used with another gamepad layout. And that, of course, was an issue. So I re-implemented it in Rust. And let me show you a demo of what it can do. I actually brought my janky third-party controller that I use at home. And I can connect that now to my notebook. If it turns on, please turn on. Yes, thank you. And here in our nice terminal window, we can now call Decrypt with --friendly, because that will not only show us the symbols generated, but also which inputs I made. I enter my root password. And now it's listening for my gamepad events. And let me pull up a text editor window. So when I move that over, I can. One second. Now in here, start using the buttons, and you will see what letter has been generated and which button I pressed. So I can press different buttons. That works. And I can also use the numpad. That works. And yeah, in general, it's quite good. This now supports multiple gamepad layouts through profiles. It has automatic and manual mapping of the gamepad input. So if you have a new controller and want to see if it could work with Decrypt, you can easily test that. Just start it with a mode with automatic mapping, and it will do it for you. It also has modifier keys, for example, for Shift. When I do this, we get nice uppercase letters. We also have an alternate mode that will then generate other letters, so we have more variety of the letters and numbers that can be generated. And it's layout independent now, so it should always generate the same symbol. Now, of course, the question is, how did I implement it? And Eon, as Richard told us, is already encrypted. So I just took the installer he has and the module for the encryption, integrated calls to Decrypt to detect the gamepads, and show a prompt to enter a password when you're using a gamepad, when a gamepad has been detected. I then use the existing logic to enroll the gamepad created passphrase to the disk. And of course, I also show a QR code with the actual passphrase and the gamepad combinations that are needed to replicate the password you entered in the installer. So your favorite gamepad cheat code can now be your password. And I think that's absolutely great. And this also means that Yuga is now encrypted. It's possible to unlock it even without a password using the integrated gamepad of your devices. So let's have a look at my wishlist again, now checking Yuga. I'll bring up the slides again. No, that's not the slide. This is the slide. And yeah, Yuga actually takes all of my wishes and needs now. And I've talked a lot now, but of course, you want proof. So who of you wants to see Yuga with its encryption in action? Nice, of course you do. So I'm happy to share with you that this presentation has been running, of course, with Yuga Linux that I just installed yesterday evening, just like last year. And let's maybe start with the first thing you would do when you interact with the system. And that would be to turn the system on. So let's restart the device. I'll restart it now. And accidentally, I removed the TPM prediction. So unfortunately, it will now ask me for my password. That's very unlucky. So it should now reboot. I'm actually not sure if the password request will be shown to you as well. I hope so. I think so. It should be. I have my gamepad ready to enter the password. Please reboot. Be a bit faster. Yesterday evening, it took like 3 seconds. Of course, now it's hanging somewhere. Yeah, stop job is running. OK, I will force quit it. In general, it shouldn't hang. There's some process still running. I don't know why. But I'm restarting it now. It's booting fresh up. The notebook is quite old. It's not the fastest. It isn't the fault of my distribution, I swear. Hello? Notebook? Are you live? So my notebook display is also still black. I didn't see the UEFI yet. So maybe I just bricked my notebook. That would be a perfect timing, of course, for a presentation. What happened? Please do something. Oh, it started. OK, great. The TPM prediction works again. I don't know why, but it works. That's good news. So TPM works. Can I please enter my password? Please. What is happening? OK, we're starting now. And we're setting them through the desktop mode. Something happened there. So the TPM prediction works. So now let me invalidate the TPM predictions again. So an easy way to do that I wouldn't recommend, is please Dolphin. Ah, it's on the other side, probably. Yeah, of course, it's not on the other side. So we go into boot, EFI, and EFI, systemd. And in here, we have the pcrlog.json, which contains the signed PCRs that we want to have. And now if I accidentally deleted it, it will be gone. And when I reboot now, and hopefully it does actually reboot now, OK, turning it off was way quicker now. So no, there wasn't a user server still running. It's booting. It's still not the fastest, I'm sorry. But we still have time. Yes, I now see the password request, of course not on the big display, but I can turn my notebook, and you can see the password request here. Ah, now it's on the main display. And now when I start doing something with my gamepad, it actually inputs letters in the password phrase. So let me do that. I hope that was the correct one. And now it should boot. And it does. So still not the fastest notebook. I should have used my new notebook. It is faster. Yes, we are in the Steam overlay now in the game mode. And we can, of course, now play some games, for example. So my favorite game, Trackmania. It's not my favorite game, but it's just a very lightweight game that I can actually run on my old notebook. I can start that up. And now Steam will start it. So it also integrates with Wine and Proton. As we can see, the performance overlay at the top is working. We can also toggle that. So the left side menu here we have is also working. That the battery is none is just because the battery of my notebook is not really recognized. I don't really know why, but that's not an issue of my distribution. Every other distro also doesn't recognize it, really. So we will continue offline. And we can now play solo. And of course, I've already played a bit here. AO1 Race is a great map. I only got gold medal, not the author medal. So I don't want to play against ghosts. Here it is. And we can play now. It doesn't have the best latency here on the Beamer, but as we can see, I can game now. I'm a real gamer. Oh, and that was okay. Please let me quit that. No one has seen that I'm terrible at Trackmania. Okay. So gaming works, and of course we can also switch to the desktop mode again. So just say switch to desktop, and the desktop is starting up again. So let me quickly bring up the presentation again. Where is the presentation window? Here it is. Presentation program is loading a bit. It's a big presentation. And let me continue. So, of course, Yuga Linux is not done yet. So, for example, I obviously have to fix issues when they occur, and that's the first slide, not the slide I actually wanted to start it with. So, one second, let me go through these slides. And no, here we are. Yuga Linux still has some problems, and the biggest one I'm currently working on is the transaction update 5.0 update that changed a lot of things internally. I think I've catched everything by now, but there may be an issue left in the installer, but I tested it and it should just work again. And of course, I also tried to bring my packages to factory to then have them in proper tumbleweed snapshots and to then be later able to also use OpenQA to properly test my distribution and to catch issues before they appear on a user system. That's my main goal. A few packages are already in factory and should be available in Tumbleweed. So, for example, you should be able to install the GameScope session packages with GameScope as well. That should all already work. And, of course, there are also other things that are nice to have. So, for example, I already have a Telegram group. Please feel free to join. I would be very happy. And you will find download links there and a video of me installing Yuga on my Steam Deck, so you can see that in action as well. So, of course, my Steam Deck runs Yuga Linux now, and I'm very happy with it. But I don't just want a Telegram group. It would also be nice if there was a bridge to Matrix, because I know that a lot of you are using Matrix, and it's actually more useful because Telegram is unencrypted, and I don't really like Telegram myself. So a bridge to Matrix would be very nice. And, of course, a website promoting Yuga. There currently isn't one. I would love to have a website with a download link and so on. So if someone of you is interested in creating a website or loves doing that, I would be very helpful, very thankful, and, of course, would then do the hosting of the website. Most importantly, though, I'm looking for new users. So I don't want to sell it, of course, but Kalpa is in an early state, and if you want a KDE desktop with an immutable distribution and TPM and so on all running, then Yuga is for you. You can set it to just boot into KDE, more or less ignore the game mode, and that should all work. So if you were still waiting for Kalpa, maybe try Yuga first, and you also have a nice game mode. And for everyone who is interested in gaming, of course, Yuga is also interesting for you. And, of course, help in every area is welcome. I would love to see new contributors, so if you're interested in this project, feel free to contribute. I also have to thank ChimeraOS, Nubara, and BazaarOS. Even though they don't have all the features I need, they still figured everything out originally, and they provide the packages that I could port and use to support the game mode on Yuga Linux. So, thank you very much. And with that, we come to the questions. And now is a great time. I asked you previously what features you would love to see, and this is now the time for you to tell me what would you love to see from a gaming distribution. Thank you very much. Are there any preferences, or is my wish list already everything you could ever dream for? Do we have any other questions?
Sorry if you covered it. I got in late. I noticed you're not running this off a Steam Deck.
I thought about bringing my Steam Deck, but the amount of things I could bring with me was very limited, and the notebook is slimmer and fits into my backpack. I would have had to remove clothes, and that would have meant that I would have to stand up half naked
but
up here
runs.
To bring my Steam Deck. And that nobody wants to see that, right?
But you could have run this presentation of your Steam Deck on Yuga Linux if you wanted to. No problems there, just everything works.
Yeah, so of course, Yuga runs on the Steam Deck. If you want to see Yuga running on a Steam Deck, join the Telegram group, as I said. There's still the QR code up there. There's a video of it running. And yeah, it works. It works on my notebook. It works on my Steam Deck. Of course, it would have been nice if I brought my Steam Deck, but I had to make the sacrifice of not bringing the Steam Deck. And with that, the time is technically up. So if there's no other question, again, thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope to welcome some of you as new Yuga Linux users.